Okay, good evening, everybody. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning Chulin Daf Ayin Dalid. We're going to pick up at Daf Ayin Gimel and Be'ez at Omer of Yosef Nekoter of Yitzchak Bar Yosef B'Yodecho, which is about five lines from the end of the page, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Be'ez. Here's your sponsor once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Aliyah Nishmas, his mother, called the Basim Chalda Shalom, the Nesham Hashem, and Aliyah, and is also sponsored in memory of the 23rd yard site of Mr. Jack Geitzel's Yehuda Chaim Ben Binyamin Allah Shalom, a Holocaust survivor, by his sons, Dr. Mitchell Geitzels and Jeffrey Geitzels of Kew Gardens, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and we thank the Geitzels family very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about in today's daf is the following. First of all, we're going to bring a proof that Shechita Eina Osa Nipul, so the limb is not considered Eivra Minachai when the animal is shechted. That's going to be a continuation of the sugya from yesterday's daf. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what is the source in the Torah that Misa and Shechita impact a dangling limb differently from each other. That one of them will turn it into Eivra Minachai, the other one will not turn it into Eivra Minachai. What's the difference whether the animal dies of natural causes or it's a Shechita that impacts the dangling limb? Then the Gemara is going to have a stira whether Ben Shmona Chai is considered to be Yesh B'mino Shechita, meaning if you find an 8-month fetus that is still alive, do we consider that to be something that in that very min there is a heter shechita, not in that very animal, but in that very min there's a heter shechita? Or do we say no, ben shmona is not called a bakar, it's not called a tzon, it's not called anything, and therefore it's ein b'mino shechita? The Gemara is then going to discuss, does shechita work when it's done directly on a fetus in utero? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about what stage fetus does the mother's shechita work for. I mean, does the mother's the shechita on the mother work for no matter what stage the fetus is inside, alive, dead, 8th month, 9th month? So we're going to talk about that, and then the Gemara is going to discuss the status of the chelev and the gid of a ben pakua. Meaning the ben pakua is mutter without shechita. What about the chelev that normally would be asur? What about the gid anasha? And then the Gemara is going to talk about, what about the dam of a ben pakua? Then we're going to talk about, can we use a ben pakua for pidyon peter chamar, where you need a kosher animal, you need a sheep to do pidyon peter chamar? Can a ben pakua be used for that purpose? And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss whether the ben pakua becomes tameh at the same level as the mother, or is it a level down? That if the mother is an av, then the ben pakua is a rishon. If the mother is a rishon, the ben pakua is a sheni. Or do we say, no, it's one big thing, it's one big unit, and therefore becomes tameh at the same level as the mother. So let us begin again. We are holding Amar Rav Yosef Nekoter Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Biyodcha. So we said that Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said in the name of Rav Yochanan, that according to Rav Yochanan, everyone is moda, that if you have a dangling limb, that the shechita does not make it nipol, it doesn't make it as if it had fallen off, and the Aver is not going to have the tumah of Aver Menachai, it will be tohar. So Amr of Yosef, Nekotra of Yitzhak Yosef B'yodecha, you should assume that he is correct, that which he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, both Rameir and Lecham agree, that shechita is eino osa nipol, de Rabba Bar Barchana koi kavasei, because Rabba Bar Barchana says it exactly like him in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. De Tanya, because the Brisa tells us, and Chazal Darshan, that if you have a dangling limb or a dangling piece of flesh from an animal, and then you shecht that animal, it is asur b'achila. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, it makes it sound like, when you say that it's asur, it makes it sound like it's asur min haTorah, but no, ein b'mel mitzvos prosh b'lvad, it's not a lo saseh min haTorah, it's just a din midrabanan not to eat it, because it looks like Eivra Minachai, but it's not actually Eivra Minachai. So the drasha that we're quoting over here, the way Rashi learns and the way Rov Rishonim learn, is purely an asmachta bi'alma, and therefore it is not a real drasha. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan, the version of Rabbi Yochanan that says that ein shechita osa nipul is the correct version. Now it happens to be the Rambam Machlokes Asuros Perkei Halacha Vav writes that it's asur ve'ein lokan alav, and the Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam holds that it's actual issur daraisa. Let's just say you don't get malchus, because it has a din like a chatzi shir, that's also min haTorah. But the Rav Rishonim understand that when we say ein ben el mitzvos prosh bilvad, it means that there's not an issur daraisa at all. So you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, shechita is not osa nipul, and therefore you do not have the issur of eivra minachai mida oraisa for this dangling limb after you shecht the animal. So Yosef, Rav Yosef made Rav Huna, Rav Yosef was sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rav Huna, Yosef Kamar, and he was saying, Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Achalu Lazem, loka, that if a person eats that dangling limb, he's going to get malchus. Now, you only get malchus for something that's awesome in a Torah. So it sounds like he holds it's awesome in a Torah. So Amalei, so he said to Ravuna, Amalei Umer Rabbanon, one of the Rabbanon said to Ravuna, Lo Tzaisule, do not listen to what Rav Yosef is telling you. He's telling you something that's totally not correct. Because Hachi Amar Vitzah Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav, Achol Lezeh Ein Aloka. Because we learned that if you eat that dangling limb, you don't get malchus. It is not Eiver Min HaChayim in a Torah. So Rav Huna said to Rav Yosef, Anan aman nismoch. Who should I rely on to paskin this halacha? Meaning, apparently, you guys have a machlokes over here, whether this is asur min haTorah or not. So what do you want me to do? Sadrin, Rav Yosef got angry because Rav Huna didn't understand what he was saying. You think I'm arguing with what he's saying in the name of Rav, whether you get malchus reading in Avraham Adulgal? Amar Leh, so Rav Yosef said to Rav Huna, my kushya, what do you mean, who should you rely on? What kind of question? And we're not arguing with each other. Ki amriyan. When I said that you get malchus reading a dangling limb, that's if an animal had a limb dangling and then it dropped dead. So then it's osanipul. Then it becomes Eiver Min HaChai Min HaTorah. Ki Amar Yehu, when he said in the name of Rav that the dangling limb is not Asur Min HaTorah, that's Beshchita De'in osanipul. That's when the limb was dangling and then it didn't just drop dead. You shechted the animal. Shchita's Eina osanipul. The Teferis Yaakov explains the chiluk between the two of them, between Misa and Shchita. Why is it? I mean, either way, the animal's dead. So what difference does it make whether the animal dies while its limb is dangling from natural causes or it dies from Shchita while its limb is dangling? Why would the limb have a different status? So the Tiferes Yaakov explains that since the Aver was already dangling, so it only has a little bit of life left in it. So at the time of the Misa, you have to assume if it died of natural causes, so the life was fading away a moment before it died. Whatever little bit of chius there was in that limb probably left it right prior to the death of the animal, and therefore was Eiver Min HaChai, as opposed to a shchita, something that you bring on the animal suddenly. It's not that its life was fading away. So when did that chius leave the limb? When you shechted the animal. So it's not Eiver Min HaChai in that case, Min HaTorah. So Amar Rav, no, Milsa Damar Rabbanan, that Miso Sanipal Shchita Eino Sanipal. What is the source for this? I mean, we just, as far as Yaakov explained the Svara for it, but what's the source for this idea that Misa is also nipple, that natural death will make it that it's Eiver Min HaChai, that the dangling limb is Eiver Min HaChai, but Shchita will not make it so. Dechsev, because the Pasuk says in the Parsha of Tumas Shratzim, it says, V'kol Asher Yipol Alav Mehem B'mosam Yitma. So the Pasuk is telling us that an Eiver that falls off of a Sheretz is Tameh. So what's it excluding when it says B'mosam? So Ilem L'mutei B'chayeyam. If it's saying, yeah, B'mosam, because when it's alive, it's not Metame, well, minivlasam nafka. That I already know from the word minivlasam. You don't need to say bimosam. So what's bimosam teaching me? It must be telling me that kol asher yipol mehem, anything that falls off of them, that is bimosam. That the misa alone is that which makes that aver into an aver min achai. But a shchita is not going to be mapil. Is eino osanipol, does not make it into aver min achai. So amalei ravad baravel the rav of Shratzim. What do you mean a riot about Eiver Min HaChai? The pasuk is about Shratzim. By Shratzim, there's no din of Shchita on Shratzim to begin with. So there's no Misa versus Shchita. How can you darshan a pasuk by Shratzim in such a thing? So Amalei, so Rava said back to Rav Ad Barava that there is a principle in darshaning psukim that a meinu inyan l'shratzim t'lav b'nei shchita ninu t'nei inyan l'behema, that you have a concept called the meinu inyan, that if you have a drasha that cannot be applied to the place where we seem to be learning it, so we apply it elsewhere, and therefore it cannot be applied to the parsha of Shratim, so we apply it to the parsha Behema. Vakati mi bayile, but says Gemara, we still need the pasuk b'mosam to teach me something else, that Shratim are only metame ke'ein misa, if the Shratim are in a condition that is similar to the condition they would be in at the time of death, meaning lachin metamim, if they still have some moisture to them, they are metame yveshamein metamim, but if they are dried out and shriveled up, they are not metame. So you already need the pasuk b'mosam, so I could use the pasuk b'mosam to teach me that Misa Osanipul. So says Gemara, Trei B'mosam Ksivi. It says B'mosam twice. So one pasuk is teach me that when they're lach and they're metame, when they are Yuveshim, they're not metame, and the other pasukas teach me that misa also nipple. Okay, so now the Mishnah goes back to discuss the aver of an ubar that emerged from the mother. So the Mishnah had said that if you have a pregnant mother animal and the ubar sticks its hand outside of the mother and then you shecht the mother, that according to our mayor, the aver has a din of tumas nevela, meaning it has a din like aver menachai, because the shechita of the mother was not metaher that aver, whereas according to the chachamim, it does not have a din of nevel, it does not have a din of Ever Menachai. So Amar Rav Chista Machlokas be Ever Duber Chai. The whole Machlokas is if it's a limb of a living Uber, that according to a mayor, the Shechita is also Nipal and the Ever has a din of Ever Menachai and it's Metame, the Uber. And according to the Chamim, since it's Yesh B'mino Shechita, so the Shechita works even for the Ever as far as the Tum and Tahara status. It may not work as far as a Heter Achila, but as far as Tum and Tahara status, the Shechita will work. Aval be Ever Duber Maze, but if it's an aver of a dead uber, so then Devarakol Shechita Osa Nipul, then everyone would agree that Shechita is Osa Nipul and the aver is going to be Tamid Tumas Nevela. Verabba Amar, but Rabba disagrees with Rav Chista and he says, Kemachlokas Bazeh, Kach Machlokas Bazeh. Just like Rav Meir and the Chum disagree about an aver of an uber chai, so do they disagree about an aver of an uber maze. Then in both of those cases, Rav Meir is Metami the aver with Tumas Nevela and the Chumim are Metahir. Then we went on to say in the Mishnah, Ben Shemona Chai, that if you have an 8-month fetus inside of the mother, the shechita of the mother will not be metayrit because it's ein bimino shechita. There's nothing that's in the min of this ben shmona that would be eligible for shechita. I mean, if you recall what the Mishnah had said, a trefa, if you take a trefa out, you have a cow that has a gigantic hole in its lung, and you do shechita on that cow, so then it is tohar. It is not a nevela. The shechita works to be metayrit. But if you take a pig and shecht it, the shechita does not work to be metayrit. It is now a dead pig which has the tumah of nevela. What's the difference between the cow with a hole in its lung and the pig? Both of them are not kosher because the cow is yesh bimina shechita. That this cow may not be able to be eaten if you shecht it, but other cows can be eaten, and therefore the shechita will work on this cow at least as far as tumatara is concerned. Whereas the pig is a bimina shechita. So we wanted to say that a bench Shmona Chai is considered ein bimina shechita, that even its whole min doesn't have shechita. So, frankly, Marav HaTani, but we have a brisa that says Ben Shmona Chai Yechiyach Shalv Bishiyesh bimina shechita, ein shechita sumatarato. That the brisa says that Ben Shmona Chai is yesh bimina shechita. So, what do you do with that stira? So, Amrav Kana yesh bimina shechita agavimo v'tana didan mina diime lo parich. That when the brisa says that Ben Shmona is yesh bimina shechita, it means that since it will become mutter when you shecht the mother, it's considered to be that it has it has Torah Shechita. Whereas in our Mishnah, where we did not assume that way, it's minadime lo parich. The fact that you can shecht the mother and that will work for this fetus does not make this fetus a yesh b'mino shechita. Ula hai tana de parich, and according to the Tana of the Braisa, that a ben shmona is considered to be yesh b'mino shechita because the mother can be shechted, and therefore you can learn treif from a behema to mea, that the shechita is not metayrit, so treifa doesn't metayrat minale. So now we're back to the question, why is it when you take a cow that has a hole in its lung and you shecht it, that it's not going to be considered a nevela? After all, you cannot make the chiluk of yesh b'mino shechita ein b'mino shechita anymore once you're willing to say that a ben shmona chai is considered to be a yesh b'mino shechita. So says Mar Nafkale Midravido Marav. So how do I know that if you shecht a trefa animal that it's not a nevela? I learned it from where Rabbi Yudom Marav learns it from. Dom Rabbi Yudom Marav Armi Lemasnisa Tana. Some say it's a brisa that Amar Kra, the pasuk says by tumas nevela v'chiyomus mina behema. So the pasuk says mina behema. So it sounds like mixas behema mitama, mixas behema ena mitama. Some of the kosher behemos will be mitami tumas nevela, and some kosher behemos will not be mitami tumas nevela. So ve'ezo zo trefa sheshchata. Which ones will not have tumas nevela? A trefa animal that you shecht. It's not mitami tumas nevela, even though it's as if it died as a result of its tarfus, as a result of its its treifa status, but when you shacht it, it does not have the status of tumas nevela. Okay, so now the Gemara raises a new shayla. Bayer of Hoshaya, Hoshet is yadu lemei behema v'shachat ben tishachai mahu. You have a very, very pregnant cow. So instead of shachting the mother, you take somehow you take a shechita knife, a little shechita knife. You stick it inside the mother, and you find the neck of the baby, and you shach the baby while it's inside the mother. So what's the din? Does that work? Is the baby now kosher? Is the baby eligible for a shechita? So tibay the Rameir v'tibayi the Rabbanon. This is a shaila both according to Rameir and according to the Rabbanon. According to Rameir, the shechita of the mother doesn't work on a ben tishachai that's inside of it, and in order to make that baby kosher, you need to shecht it. And according to the Chachamim, the shechita of the mother does work. So how is the shaila both according to both of them? So tibay the Rameir. Rameir holds that the shechita of the mother would not work on this baby. I can look at Rameir ben Pakoton shechita. When does Rameir say it needs its own shechita? That's only hanimi liyecha diyatzala avir ha'olam. That's only once it's out in the world. Avol b'meim alo shayile b'meshechita. But maybe it's not yet eligible for shechita until it emerges. So yes, Rameir will say this animal needs its own shechita. But hold your horses. Wait till it's born. Only once it's born will it be eligible for shechita. Oh, Dilmor, maybe Afil Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan that say the shechita of the mother would work for this animal. Yes, the shechita of the mother would work for this animal. But maybe just like the shechita of the mother works for the animal, the shechita of the baby also works. That it's key that the baby has four simanim, that you could check any two of them and it would work. So Amrav Chananya Tashema. So let's bring a raya from our Mishnah to figure out what the halacha is going to be. In this case where you shecht the baby while it's in utero. Now our mission discusses, why don't we learn that shechita is not metara trefa, just like it's not metara behema temeya. So the mission is mechalik that a trefa had a shas kosher, that prior to it becoming a trefa, it was a kosher animal, and that's why it's in the category of shechita, so shechita will be metara from nevela. Whereas a behema temeya, pig, never had a shas kosher. So the Mishnah didn't like that chilik, because the Mishnah said, does a trefa always have a history of having once been kosher? Harishanolda trefa minabet. And what about an animal that was born a trefa? So it was never kosher. But wait just a second, says the Gemara. Born a trefa tells you that it was never kosher? What about while it was in utero? It was kosher then. If you're able to shecht it in utero, so then it was kosher. Just because it was born a trefa, that doesn't tell you it wasn't kosher. V'isa mishkach sadayla shasa kosher diba yayla yaday v'shachta. You could have stuck your hand in utero and shechted it there. So it did have a shas kosher. So says Gemara, you're right. Amalei Rava Tani. Notes for a trefa min abeten. The Mishnah shouldn't be, if the Mishnah wants to come up with a case of a trefa that never had a shasa kosher, it should not have said a case of where it was born with the trefa. It should have said a case where it was conceived from the moment of conception, from the moment it took shape, from the moment it formed in utero, that it already was a trefa. How do you have such a thing? How do you know? How would you ever be able to tell that an animal that's forming in utero is a trefa? Mishkach, so bebalas chamesh v'klayim, if it has five legs. Because that's considered a trefa. So and we assume that it developed that way, that an animal doesn't develop with four legs and then just out of nowhere grow a fifth leg. So obviously it developed that way in utero. So that's the example of a trefa that never had a shasa kosher. And that's what the Mishnah meant, that you cannot tell me just because an animal is a trefa, it necessarily means that it once had a shasa kosher. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses the details of Ben Pakua. We had said that if you find an ubar in the mother's belly after the shechita, so the ubar is kosher. And we derive that from a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chol behema mefreses parso v'shas shesa shtei pratzos malos ger ba-behema oso techelu. And we learn behema ba-behema, that the behema inside of the other behema is oso techelu, that you're allowed to eat it. And that's what we know of as a ben pakua. So ha-shochet is a behema. So what are the circumstances that that's true? What does the baby need to look like in order for it to be kosher? With the mother's shechita. So hashochet is a behema, if you shecht a pregnant behema, umatuba ben shmonachai omes, and you find an 8-month fetus that's either alive or dead, o ben tisha mes, or a dead 9-month fetus, so koro, you tear open the animal because it doesn't need shechita, because kolba behema tochelu, umotzi es damo, and you remove any dam, because the dam is also bachila, and then you'll be allowed to eat the ubar. That's it. It's covered with the shechita of the mother. You just got to get rid of the dam. Because because the dam of the Ubar has the same din of dam of the other Evarim of the animal, where you violate a losa, say, for eating dam. So even though the chelev of the Ben Pakua is mutter, as soon as we're going to have a drasha, it tells us that, but by dam, we don't have any special drasha, so the dam is going to be aser. Matzah ben tishachai, ta'un shchita. But if you find that the fetus inside is a ben tishachai, it's a 9-month pregnancy, and it's alive, then it needs its own shchita. Meaning it's not going to be nitar b'shchita sa'em. The shchita of the mother does not work for it. The Balamar and the Ramban have machlokas of you. The Balamar writes that that it's only to be matar b'achila, Ramei requires its own shchita. But if the uber dies without being shechted, the mother's shchita is enough to at least take away the tumas nevela status of it. So what happens? You shechted the mother, you find this ben tishachai, you find a 9-month fetus that's alive, so if you want to eat it, you got to shecht it, according to Rabbi Meir. But if it just drops dead, so the Balmor would say, you can't eat it, but it also doesn't have tumas nevela. The shechita of the mother at least took away the tumas nevela status. Whereas Ramban says, no, according to Rabbi Meir, the shechita of the mother did nothing for it. If it's a 9-month chai, the shechita of the mother does nothing, according to Rabbi Meir, and you have to shecht it yourself. The chai of both of us, and the shechita you do on it is serious enough shechita that it's included in the iser of Osav Espinel, that you're not allowed to shecht it on the same day as its mother. Divrei Meir v'cham momrim shechitas ima metarato. And the Chum disagreed in this. They said that even a ben tishachai, the shechita that you do for the mother will cover the baby. So Reb Shimon Shazuri omer, afil ben chamishan v'chorish v'sad shechitas ima metarato. Not only that, even if this little baby grew up and it's already 5 years old and it's plowing in the field, it's a gigantic ox, still the shechita of the mother is metarit, that makes it mutter without any shechita. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to ask, why is that any different than what the Chacham said? The Chacham said that the shechita of the mother works for it, and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, even if it's a gigantic animal, the shechita of the mother works for it. Yeah, and even if it's a medium-sized animal, and a small animal, and every other size animal, meaning the whole point was that it was ben tishachai when you shechted the mother, so the shechita of the mother works for it, so the Gemara will deal with that. Then the Mishnah concludes that the whole discussion about a ben pakua, when it becomes a mutter, b'shchitas imo, is only when the mother was shechted. But kra'a, let's say you tore open the mother without shechting, and a matzah ben tishachai, and you find this 9-month fetus, live fetus, inside ton shchita, then for sure it needs son shchita, l'fishal anishchata imo, because the mother was never shechted. Meaning, the whole discussion is, does the shchita of the mother work for this ben tishachai? But if there was never a shchita for the mother, then it needs its own shechita. The Drisha in Yerodeh Simon Yud Gimel asks, isn't this obvious? No, meaning, is there any havamina that with no shechita whatsoever, not a shechita on the mother, not a shechita on it, that it's just going to become kosher? How could that possibly be? That it wouldn't, why would the Mishnah need to tell me? So Tosyantov writes that since the din of Ben Pakua is derived from the pasuk of Kol Behema Tochelu, and over there it doesn't say anything about a heter shechita. It just says which behema is mutter and which behema is aser. So one might have thought that the Torah is being matir, anything that you find inside of a kosher behema, even if that kosher behema it was never shechted, just like dagim v'chagavim, meaning it wouldn't be the only food item that was a living creature that doesn't require shechita. It's not unprecedented in Judaism to have this, and that's why we need to be mechadesh that still requires shechita. That's how Tos Yom Tov explains on the Mishnayos. The Chassam Sofer, however, disagrees. He says the Mishnah is being mechadesh, a case where you tore open the mother and the uber was still inside. And even if the mother didn't die from being torn open, so like you're performing a C-section, you tore open the mother, mother's still alive, and then you shecht the mother. So that's the chiddush. That shechita of the mother does not work for an uber once he's been exposed to the atmosphere. Once you tore open the mother's body, and the uber is now exposed. Says the Gemara, Amar Blazer Amar Vashayat, Lo Hilchu Bo, Ela Al Iske Shechita Bilvad. The whole idea of the Chacham, that Ben Pakua, is not going to require shechita, and it's mutter b'shechita simo. That's only as far as the dinim of shechita. That in order to be mati the isser, it doesn't the isser of einu zavuach. So the shechita of the mother is good enough. But as far as all other matters, it has its own identity as a behema. Lemute mai. What do you mean as far as all other matters? In what way did the shechita of the mother not help? Lemute chelbo v'gido. That the chelev and the gid of the fetus. of the Ben Tes Chai are usher just like it is in any other behemoth, because you found it alive and it's a fully developed animal and it came out to the world, so it's like a full-fledged behemoth. So says Mar Chelbo Demai, wait a second, what chelv is Rav Oshia coming to tell us that even according to the Chachamim, the Shchit is not Matir and the chelv is going to be usher? If it's the chelv of the Ben Pakua, well, that's not true of a Miflek Pligi. It's actually a machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim with the chelv of Ben Pakua is kosher or not. Detanya, because after all, the Braisa says, Gira nashanoig bishlil, v'chelbo asur divra meir, Rabbi Yudomer, eino noig bishlil, v'chelbo mutter, that there's no isur gid, according to the Chaman, there's no isur chelev. V'amar of Lazar, v'lashaya, machlokas, m'ben tishachai, v'alach rameir l'shitaso. This machlokas between Rameir and Rabbi Yuda is about a ben tishachai, and Rameir is l'shitaso, who holds that even if the mother was shechted while it was still in utero, and you took it out, it does not become mutter b'shchita simo, and it requires its own shchita. So therefore it's chelev and it's gid is going to be asur as well. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the chelev and the gid of a ben pakua are mutter, he's also l'shitaso that just like he holds that it's nitar b'shchita simo, so it's not considered a full fledged behema so long as it hasn't yet been born, and therefore the chelev and the gid are going to be mutter because it doesn't have an independent identity as a behema. So that cannot be what we meant when we said the mute chelba v'gido. We cannot mean the chelev and the gid of the ben pakua, of the shlil. Ella chelbo digid. What we meant by chelbo v'gido is not two separate things. We mean the chelev that surrounds the gid. That Rabbi Meir is going to be mode in that case, that even though Rabbi Meir holds the shchit of the mother doesn't work for the fetus, that's a ben tishachai, but the chelev around the gid of that ben tishachai is going to be mutter. Because, so says Gemara, that's not true either though. Miflek pligi, detanya, gid anashe, mechateit acharav, bekol makom shehu, bechotech shamno meyikaro. That you need to cut away all of the fat around the gid. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yehuda omer, gom moim ha-shofi. That you could cut the gid and the chelev, the same to the height of the thigh of the animal, because only the gid and the shuman that hagid that are in the that are in that part of the animal are usher, but the source of the gid, the root of the gid, the base of the gid, and the shuman hagid are mutter. So from the fact that Rameir says b'kol makom shehu, it sounds like even in the shlil you need to scoop out all the shuman hagid. So you see, that's also a machlokas. Eli Itmar, Hachi Itmar. No, must be that what Rabbi Yoshia meant to say was that Amr Ablaz Rabbi Yoshia lo hilchu bo ela aliske achil b'vad lemute rovo v'choresh bo. Forget about what we said about Shuman Agid, that's incorrect. What we must have meant is that when the Chacham say that a ben tishachai is mutter with the shchita of the mother, and it's not considered its own independent behema, that's only as far as eating it. But as far as the Isra of Roveya, that you're going to be chayiv misa for bestiality with a ben pakua, or as far as the Isra of being chore shor v'chamor yachtov, that applies to a ben pakua as well. In that sense, it has a din, it has a status of its own of an independent animal. It's its own self, it has its own identity. It's not just subsumed under the mother in that sense. Now there is a discussion Rabbi Kiveger has in his commentary in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Zayin that our Gemara discusses whether it needs shechita. Our Gemara discusses whether the chelev and the gid are kosher. Our Gemara discusses whether it's subject to the Isra of Roveya, the Isra of Sachmash B'Shar V'Chamor Yachtav. What about its milk? What if it's a baby girl and it grows up and it produces milk? Is that milk subject to the Isra of Basar B'Chalav? Or do we say, no, it doesn't have its own identity and its milk is not milk, right? So Rabbi Kiveger writes that if you're Mevashal Basar with the Chalav that you take from a Bas Pakua, you don't get Malkus because it has a din of a shechted animal. And what happens when you shecht an animal and you find milk in the udder? So it's not subject to Basar B'Chalav. That is not a problem of Basar B'Chalav. Only milk that has emerged from the udder is subject to Basar B'Chalav. So this is like finding milk in the stomach of the mother, and therefore it's not subject to Basar B'Chalav. So however, he says it could be that it has a din of that it has a din of a shchuta, because the reason that you're memayit chalav shchuta is from the pasuk b'chalev imo. Rashi says that chalev imo is mashma chalav shel behema ru'il dios eim, and once it's shechted, it's not ro'i laholid anymore. So that's why chalav of a shchuta is not subject to basu b'chalav. But the bas pakua may be shechted, but it is ro'i dios eim. It could experience motherhood. So they bring an interesting raya. I'm not going to go through the whole sugya, but just one quick raya. There's a raya from the sugya in Bechoros. The sugya in Bechoros tells us that that which comes from a live animal is aser ba'achila, because it's something that's porish from an eiver menachai. It comes from a live animal, with the lone exception of milk. That milk from a live animal is kosher. So ask the Gemara, where do we ever find that you're allowed to drink milk, that milk is kosher? So the Gemara wants to prove it from the fact that the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, so it must be that chalav on its own is really kosher. Otherwise, why would there be a need to tell me not to have basar b'chalav? You can't even have chalav ever. So if chalav of a bas pakor were usher to eat together with basar, then there would be no raya from the fact that the Torah is matir basar b'chalav, because it could be that really all chalav is really aser, because it's yotzi min achai and has a din of ever min achai. But the chalav of a bas pakua is mutter, because it has a din of a shchuta. And when the Torah asks is basar b'chalav, it meant basar with chalav of a bas pakua, and that's where it had to tell it to me. So from the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, you see that the Gemara holds that there is no isra of basar b'chalav on the chalav of a bas pakua. So that's what the Shara Melech brings the raya in that direction. So there is a discussion in the poskim whether the chalav of bas pakua is subject to the isurim of basar b'chalav mida oraisa. Okay, so now the Mishnah discusses what about the dam. So Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish l'divrei amati b'chelbo, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the chalav of the ben pakua is mutter, matir b'damo, the dam would also be mutter. Uldivriya also b'chalbo, also b'damo. If you hold that the chalav is asur, the dam is also asur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af uldivriya matir b'chalbo, also b'damo. That even if you're matir the chalav, you're going to asur the dam. Say, Esi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Rabbi Shimon Lakish. In our Mishnah, it says that a ben ches, which becomes mutter with the shchita of the mother, koro, umotzi es damo, that you need to remove all of the dam. So you see, the dam of a ben pakua is aser, even in a case where the shechita of the mother worked for the chalev and for the shlil and for everything else. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that, how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda, who is matir b'chalbo, is matir the dam as well? You see, beferish of the Mishnah, that even though you're being matir the chalev, you have to rip out all the dam. So you have to drain out all the dam. So Rabbi Zera, lomar shein on ushkaros. Rish Lakish didn't mean that the dam is kosher. He just meant to say that you're not chayv kares for eating that dam. But of course, you need to drain out the dam, like our Mishnah said. So leman kamninan. Ask the Gemara. If Rish Lakish is saying that according to the matir bechelbo, there's no chayv kares bedamo. Who is he saying this according to? Who's the matir b'chelbo? The Rabbi Yehuda. He's talking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that the chelav is mutter. So how come there's no chiv karis on the dam? Lo yehel dam atamsis. Why don't we consider it like the dam that comes out after the initial burst when you shecht an animal, where Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv karis for such dam? Detanya dam atamsis basar Rabbi Yehuda omer bi karis. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're even chayiv karis for dam atamsis. The background over here is that there are three types of dam. There's what's called the dam nefesh, and that you're for sure chayiv karis. That initial burst of dam when you shecht an animal, that you're for sure chayiv karis. Then there's what's called the dam atamtzis, that comes out after the bisa, and that's machlokas chum and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, you chayiv karis for that too. The chum say you're not. And then there's the dam hevarim, whatever dam is left in the kidneys and in the spleen and whatever. So all of everyone agrees that's just a los haseyir, and you're not chayiv karis for that. So if you're talking within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda's matir the chaylev holds that you're not chayiv karis for the dam. Well, why not? You're even chayiv karis for dam atamtzis according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Tirgum Rabbi Yosef Brei Rav Sala Chasida Kamei Rav Papa Islei Rabbi Yehuda Dam VeKol Dam. Rabbi Yehuda holds of a hekesh between dam and kol dam. The whole reason Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv karis for dam atamtzis is because the Torah says that Asher Yochal Kol Dam, and it says Yechayiv Karis. So from the word kol, we include dam atamtzis. So Yechayiv Karis for that as well. So since the word dam teaches about the Dhamma Nefesh, and Kol Dham teaches about the Dhamma Tamsis, so we make a hekesh between one and the other. Kol Hech, the Mechayiv Dhamma Nefesh, Mechayiv Dhamma Tamsis. So whenever you're going to be Chayiv Kares for the Dhamma Nefesh, that's when you're Chayiv Kares for the Dhamma Tamsis. But for Kol Hech, the Lom Mechayiv Dhamma Nefesh, any situation where you wouldn't be Chayiv Kares for the Dhamma Nefesh, well then Lom Mechayiv Dhamma Tamsis, then you're not going to be Chayiv for the Dhamma Tamsis either. So Ben Pakua, there is no Dhamma Nefesh because it's not its own independent entity. It's just a piece of the mother. So there is no Chiyuv Kares for the Dhamma Nefesh. So Mela, there's not going to be a Chiyuv Kares for the Dhamma Tamsis either. So that's why Rabbi Zeira is correct that when we say that the Divrei HaMatir B'Chelev is Matir B'Dam, what we meant is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you're not Chayiv for the Chelev of a Ben Pakua, he'll hold that you're not Chayiv Kares for the Dam of a Ben Pakua. It's Aser, but you're not Chayiv Kares. So now the Gemara discusses, okay, can you use a Ben Pakua for Pidyon Petar Chamar? The halacha is that if you have a firstborn donkey, the Torah tells us you have to be poda the Petar Chamar with a sheep, and that even a female sheep that's a balmum can be used to for the pidyon, and if it's alive, you can be poda even if it's not worth as much as the donkey is worth. But you cannot use a dead sheep or any other object other than a sheep unless its value actually equals the value of the Chamar. So the way to get away with using something that's cheaper than a chamar is a living sheep. That's all you can use. So Yibayilu, Mal liftos ben pakua. What if you have a living sheep, but it's a ben pakua? So alibid Rameir lo tibayilach. According to Rameir, it's not a shayla. Kivin damar ton shchita, Rameir holds that it needs its own shchita. So it's a regular animal. So semalyu. So of course you could use it for pidyon petar chamar. It's a perfectly viable animal. Ki tibayilach alibid Rabbanan. The whole shayla is only according to Rabbanan. Da amri shchitas imo mitaharto. That the Rabbanan hold that the shchita of the mother works for it. So it's not an independent entity. It is not an animal on its own right. So my, so can you use it for Petar Chamar? Since the Shechita of the mother works for it, do we say it's just like using a piece of meat? And a piece of meat you cannot use for Pidyon Petar Chamar. Or maybe because it runs around with the rest of the sheep and it looks like a regular sheep, so it's considered a real sheep, and therefore you can use it for Petar Chamar. So predictably, it is a machlokas. Marzutra says you cannot use it. Ravashi says you can use it for Petar Chamar. So Ravashi understood why can you use it? Because it runs around like a regular sheep. So for sure it's called a sheep. So he thought that Marzutra would also be moda, that misvara it should be called a sheep. So he tries to figure out why Marzutra would you hold that? You're not allowed to be poda with it. So Amrle Ravashi the Marzutra, might I take? Well, what are you thinking? The Gemara says semi psachim. Must be that you're learning a gzera shava, that just like you're not allowed to use a ben pakua for a karm pesach, because it's a yotze dofen, you can't use a Yotzi Dovin, a C-section baby for Garban Pesach, so too for Bidin Petar Chamar, you can't use it. Well, Imala Halan, Zachar, Tamim, Ben Shana, there are a lot of details of Garban Pesach that we don't apply to Petar Chamar. Garban Pesach needs to be male, it needs to not have a mom, it needs to be Ben Shana. So Afkan, would you say by Petar Chamar, Zachar, Tamim, Ben Shana? No one requires that by a Petar Chamar, it just needs to be a live sheep. So Marzutra answers Ravashi from the fact that the Pasuk says by Pidyon, it says, call Petar Chamar tifte bise v'imlo tifte v'arafto riba. So it comes to be marbe an akeva, a balmum, one that's not a ben shana, that can be used for pidyon, and you cannot use the gzera shava to exclude those things. But we do use the gzera shava to exclude a ben pakua from Petar Chamar. So it says more well e tifte riba afilu kal milinami. Once you're going to be marbe from tifte, so why not include a ben pakua as well, and say that a ben pakua could also be used for pidyon petar chamar. So it says, "Marno b'gzim kain sese mayahanile." Because if that were the case, then what does the gzera shava of sese do for me? You wouldn't learn anything from it. So it must be that the gzera shava teaches me that a ben pakua cannot be used for pidyon petar chamar, just like it cannot be used for karban pesach. What about all the other things that are possible for karban pesach? An akeva, a balmum, That I learned from Tiftet, that those are kosher. And don't tell me that the Gezerah Shavah is coming to be Mimayit, Nekeva, and Balmum, and Tiftetefta is coming to be Marba ben Pakua, because it's more Mistavra that the Torah is being Mimayit ben Pakua from Pidyon, because there's a reason to assume that there's a Svara for that, because it's similar to meat in a basket, since it doesn't require any Shechita. So since there's a Svara to learn it that way, and I have one Riboy, one Miut, so I will include in Pidyon Petar Chamar a female and a non-Ben Shana and a Balmum, and I will exclude from Pidyon Petar Chamar what might just amount to meat in a basket, which is a Ben Pakua. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Ibayiluhu. Everyone have a wonderful evening. Let's start the same time tomorrow.